I'm so thankful that Gary McKnight has recovered so much since Wednesday. I don't think I've ever seen anybody in any more severe pain than Gary was for a few minutes Wednesday. But I think he got the impression if he didn't get better, I'd lead singing today. And so we are so thankful that he is better and able to be with us tonight. I want to mention a couple things, and then I want you to turn your books to number 66. Tonight through Wednesday night, we're having a gospel meeting out at Luray. David Johnson and Tom Dahlman and maybe some of the other students have been working with the small congregation out at Luray for several months. I'll be speaking there tonight and tomorrow night, and Larry Ivory will be speaking on Tuesday night and Wednesday night. They've set the services at a little bit of an unusual time. Tonight's at 7:30, which is not so unusual, but Monday through Wednesday nights at 6 o'clock. We would be glad to have you come. If any of you would like to ride out, I'd be glad for you to go with me. We're going to talk about some basic subjects. Tonight's lesson will be on worship, tomorrow night salvation, Tuesday night grace, and Wednesday night fellowship. We appreciate what the young people are doing, and I would guess that some of you students that are in the audience tonight have been going out there some too. We appreciate what you're doing. Also want to call attention to our ladies that there is a sheet on either end of the table by the phone in the front foyer, by the water fountain in the exit out of the annex. If you did not get one in class this morning, please pick up one. This has to do with the Ladies' Day in October and your willingness to serve on a committee. Please try to pick up one of those tonight, and when you have filled it out, put it in this little box right in front of the pulpit stand here. I just want to hear us sing a little bit more. The singing was so beautiful. Let's sing number 66 together before we go into the message, and I want to ask every one of us to just really put out and let's sing this song that says he gave us a song.
Let's stand while we sing. He took my burdens all away up to a brighter day. He gave me a song, a wonderful song, a wonderful song I now can sing. In my heart joy bells ring. He gave me a song, a wonderful song. He gave me a song to sing about. He lifted me from sin and doubt. Oh, praise his name. He is my king. A wonderful song he is to me. I am redeemed no more to die, never to say goodbye. A wonderful song. And some of these days in that fair land, sing with a chorus grand. He gave me a song, a wonderful song. He gave me a song to sing about. He lifted me from sin and doubt. Oh, praise his name. He is my king. A wonderful song he is to me.
Last night, and I suppose each night during the program at Fried Hardeman, included in the slides and the words along with them that were shown before the program began were some references to Keith Danley. And the statement was made, as evidently someone was quoted, that the night that Keith led the two songs during our lectureship, that even if there had not been a lesson that night, that the coming together would have been worthwhile. I feel that way so many times when we come together in a service like this. Sometimes I really hate to see the singing stop, even though I enjoy preaching God's Word. To be able to sing together like we've been singing tonight is such a wonderful opportunity. And I think if I had no other reason to want to go to heaven, I'd want to go to heaven just to be able to hear that great group sing the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb, making music. You heard those words recently? I suppose that there have been more sentences made in the last few weeks with those two words in them than perhaps any two words that we could mention. We've been talking about making music. Last night, at least that's the one that I attended, there was some making music. And for the last few minutes, we've been making music. Now, I will admit, and I think I do not have to tell you, that there are some differences. The making music last night was just a little bit louder than tonight. The type of songs were a bit different. There were some songs last night that I didn't know. And some I'm not for sure that I even know the words now. But there was making music. And there's making music tonight. The chorus or the orchestra did such a wonderful job last night. Mark does such a good job with that, and so many of you students were involved, and we appreciate what goes into a program such as that. But it's important also for us to appreciate what goes into making music as we have just been making music. I announced the subject for tonight is making melody. Those are the two words that are used in Ephesians 5 and verse 19 in the version from which I'm reading. But I noticed that as Randall read the scripture tonight, that the version from which he read had the words make music. Basic idea is there. I realize that Ephesians 5:19 is a very important verse, and there has been so much said about it down through the years, especially even to go back to the Greek word solo that's in that verse. Men like Brother Alan Hires, who's in our midst tonight, have done such a wonderful job down through the years in defending the truth and helping people to see what is involved even in the discussion of that word. Tonight I want us to look at Ephesians 5:19 from just a very simple approach. Making music or making melody. I don't know that there's anything that we do when we come together in a service like this that means any more to us and at the same time praises God any more than our making melody. Our making music, if you please. Music is, in a sense, the putting together of a succession of tones. One definition that's given in the dictionary says that it is to promote unity or to have unity and continuity. Sometimes singing doesn't have that unity that we would like, and maybe it doesn't have the continuity that we would like. But music is important. It has been quoted by different people that they have said, if you will let me write the music, the songs of a nation, I'll control the nation. And I think there's a lot of truth in that. I am convinced, personally, that a lot of the problems that we are experiencing in the nation today are associated with songs. And so many of the songs that are being heard promote immorality. I think we can expect people to think in those terms. And yet when songs are used that promote the right attitude toward our nation and toward our government, respect for those that are in authority, it's going to have its effect. And when we sing songs like we've been singing tonight in our worship to God, we're going to be affected by what we sing, by the making of music. Making music, making melody. Just want to ask three simple questions tonight, and I believe all three of them are answered in this one verse, in verse 19. The first question is how, the second question is where, and the third question is to whom. Making melody, how? He says, by singing. Notice, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. He didn't just say make music. If God had given us the instruction just to make music, I think we would be at liberty to choose any kind that we wanted. But he didn't give us that instruction. He told us how. And this is not the only verse. This is just one of many verses in the New Testament that shows us the kind of making melody, the kind of making music that God wants us to have. He mentions in this verse that there is to be the singing of psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We've broken those down and we've tried to distinguish amongst the three different ideas here, and perhaps there is reason to do that. But in general, it seems to me that God is saying here that he wants us to sing those songs that are of a spiritual nature, that will give praise to him and be uplifting to us. The word hymn usually carries with it the idea of praise, perhaps more than some of these other concepts. And when we think of the Psalms, we think of the Psalms that David wrote, from whence come many of the songs that we sing. But spiritual songs would sort of include all of these. And notice he says he wants us to use spiritual songs. We're talking about spiritual music. Many of those songs that were sung last night that were appropriate in that place would not be appropriate in our worship to God. There are songs that you and I sing at home, maybe as we drive along in our automobiles, that are not the type of songs that would fit the categories here. They are appropriate in their place, but not appropriate in worship, just like there are many foods that are appropriate in their place that would not be appropriate on the Lord's table. There's a lot of discussion in our present time about traditional songs versus contemporary songs. Those who are of the older generations tend to enjoy the traditional songs that have been heard down through the years. Those that are of the younger generation sometimes like the more contemporary songs. And I'm convinced that the discussion really doesn't need to center around whether it's traditional or contemporary, as it needs to center around whether it is scriptural and spiritually uplifting. There are some good songs being written today. There's some of the songs that we sing, especially some of those that are in the back of this book, that I never heard when I was the age of our teenagers. But there are some songs there that have great messages. Some of them certainly praise God, and some of them certainly are spiritually uplifting. And so we need to be careful that we don't become involved in arguments and discussions over the wrong points. It's not whether it's traditional, written a long time ago and sung down through the years, or something that was written yesterday. But is it a poem set to music that we can use that will fit the idea of spiritual songs, psalms and hymns, songs that will help us to praise God, and some that will help us to be encouraged? I think in passing it might be worth making the point that in congregational singing, it seems to me that we need to be able to use those songs that we know or have the words that can be used. It is extremely difficult for me to worship God in song if we are singing a song and I do not know any of the words and cannot keep up. And perhaps this means that we need to do some more training and we need to learn some songs. But any song, any poem that is put to music that becomes a song, that is within the boundary of God's Word. In other words, it suggests or teaches scriptural principles and is spiritually uplifting to us, will help us to praise God and teach and admonish one another, certainly ought to be used, or at least considered for use in our worship to God. How are we to make melody? He says, singing. That is a specific kind of music. Some people think today that's not very important, but folks, it's one of the most important points that can be made, because if we do not respect God's specific commandments in this position in the Scripture, why would we respect His specific commandments anywhere? And if we once leave the basic standards that He has given us and the guidelines that He has given us, where will we be? Where will we go? And there is no stopping place. How are we to make music? We are to sing. And anybody who has ever been a part of a worship service such as this one this evening, where we were singing together, understands the beauty involved. There is nothing more beautiful, in my opinion, that has anything to do with music than hearing beautiful voices blend together in singing songs like we have tonight. How do we make music? By singing. Where do we make music? Well, the singing idea is evident that there is the making of music with our lips, with our vocal cords, the expression of the sounds that we make. But he says there's more to it than that. He says the melody that we need to make in our worship to God is melody that is to be made in the heart. Now, he doesn't take away from the importance of the lips, because in Hebrews, for example, he says the fruit of our lips is to be used to praise God. But it's the fruit of the lips that come forth from the heart where the melody is to be made. The melody is to be made in the heart, not by some outside instrument, not by some outside method or way, but it is to be made in the heart. The word sentiment is very much important and involved in this concept. I was reading just a few minutes ago from several different commentaries as I was going back and reviewing this, and I noticed more than once the idea was suggested that there is no acceptable worship apart from the sentiment sown. If we don't have the sentiment there, there cannot be the worship. Perhaps all of us are guilty sometimes of voicing the words without really thinking about them. I suppose all of us have had a time when maybe the mind was somewhere else, the heart was somewhere else, and was not really involved in our singing. We were calling all the words, but we really did not know what we were saying or think about what we were saying. He says this music that is acceptable in the sight of God, that God wants us to use in our worship, is music that's to be in the heart. The making of the melody is to be in the heart of man. And if you'll just stop and think about it, that answers a lot of questions right there. And it's not any different from the other areas of worship that we have. 1 Corinthians 11:28, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. What's so important as we observe the Lord's Supper? It's the heart. Each one of us is to examine himself and commune with God in the observance of the Lord's Supper from the heart. And I would suggest to you again, if we don't have the heart involved, we're not really communing as God has told us to. We lay by in store of our means upon the first day of the week, but he says that it's to be done as a man has purpose in his heart, 2 Corinthians 9:7. And this may be another lesson for another time, but we may need to stop and think about whether or not we really give from the heart. How much do we involve ourselves in purposing and in thinking and getting our hearts right? And there's another word there in that verse that emphasizes this idea too, cheerfully, giving cheerfully, having the heart right. I will pray with the Spirit. I will pray with the understanding also, as in the same verse it says, I will sing with the Spirit. I will sing with the understanding. Where does understanding take place? In the heart. Matthew 13, verse 15. Everything that we do in our worship to God is to come from the heart. On more than one occasion, Jesus criticized the Pharisees because he said, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And he went ahead there and talked about vain worship and teaching the doctrines of men, but notice he emphasized their heart is not in it. Their heart is not right. And so our making music has to be in the heart. What is it? It's singing, making melody. Where is it? It's in the heart. And to whom is it directed? Notice in this passage he says, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. To the Lord. Some of you may be sitting there thinking, well, I've heard that said many times recently, and you have. But I don't apologize for it. I believe it is so important. I believe our worship will improve, and our attitude as we leave a worship service will be so much better, and our preparation to go out into life and live each day will be so much better when we really come to realize that we are worshiping God, that our worship is to be to Him. Therefore, it is to be acceptable in His sight. It's unusual that we go an entire day on Sunday in our worship services without somewhere in one of the prayers something being said about being acceptable in the sight of God, usually in one of the prayers at the Lord's table. And if not there, it'll be in another one. Lord, help us to eat this bread or drink this cup in a way that will be acceptable in thy sight. That's a good statement. That's important. Maybe we ought to pray at least silently, if not otherwise. Lord, help us to sing in such a way that it'll be acceptable in thy sight. Help us to pray in such a way that it'll be acceptable in thy sight. Help us to give in such a way. Help us to study in such a way that it will be acceptable in the sight of God. Oh, I would not minimize in any way whatsoever the value that we get out of being with one another. And yes, this verse in Ephesians 5:19, in the very verse says, speaking to yourselves, speaking to one another, hymns and psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. But still, our main purpose for coming together is to worship God. God made provisions for this from the very beginning. You don't read long into the book of Genesis till you see altars being made and places for worship being made. And perhaps the first thing, at least one of the first things that Noah did when the ark landed was build an altar. Worship God. Usually when people traveled, when they came into a new place, that's one of the first things they did. This idea that we see in so many of the wonderful looking villages that we see in our nation today where there's a church building that seems to be sort of in the center of it didn't come about accidentally. That's a rub off from the idea that there was the center of the clan and the family and the community back even in the Old Testament that was centered around worship. Worship to God. Making music to God. Oh yes, there is the place for our entertainment. There is a place, I believe, for a program like last evening, the evening before. There is a place for all different types of situations that we may enjoy in different ways. And yes, there is a place for our making music to the Lord. Our singing and making melody in our hearts to the Lord. Colossians 3 says it's with grace in the hearts, with a thankful attitude as we sing and as we praise God. In the midst of the church, we'll sing praise to His name, Hebrews 2:12. With the fruit of our lips, we'll honor Him, Hebrews 13:15. All these other passages that we've mentioned tonight emphasize the importance of our making music to God. The Bible does talk about making melody. and in some of the versions translates it making music. How? Singing. Singing and making melody in the heart. Where? In the heart. To whom? To God. Pouring out our hearts, emptying ourselves. Emptying ourselves of all our thoughts and appreciations of God and thanksgiving to Him. Emptying ourselves as from the heart those ideas are put into our voices and we sing and sing together. I really believe that's the greatest type of making music that we'll ever find. And I believe that that's what God wants. God wants us to worship Him. He seeks men to worship Him. John 4:23. Our worship is to be to Him. Verse 24, the right spirit, the right method, the right type, all of that's important. But it is to be to God, making melody, making music. How? Singing. Where? In our hearts. And to whom? God. That's the kind of worship that we need. And I just don't believe anybody can really understand and know what true scriptural singing of praise to God is without being a New Testament Christian. And from the heart of a child of God, pouring out that praise to Him and that teaching one to another. This is just another reason why you and I ought to be Christians. If you're not a Christian tonight, you need to come and be baptized into Christ so you'll be ready to go to heaven and to hear that wonderful, not just hear it, but be a part of it. If you're a wayward child of God, you need to come back and get the baggage away, whatever it is that keeps you from having the right relationship with God. And maybe keeps you from really enjoying the wonderful opportunity of worship to God. Singing, making melody in the heart to the Lord. That's what God wants Christian people to do. And if you're not where you can do that, really do that, and worship to God, you need to come to Him as together we stand and sing.